programs Dave's gone by, and I have yet another special guest. This has been a myriad guestified program, ladies and gentlemen. We had Neil Berg earlier. We had just had Bob Cudmore on. My wife called from Washington, D.C. And who should arrive at the radio station while I'm doing my show but the man who made sure that I could do this radio show over the summer when the station was in complete chaos, the man who allowed me to get through my 8-hour Tony Award show in another building, and the man who is now the official programming director of UNC Radio here at University of Northern Colorado. His name is Matthew Davis. He's with us in studio. Hello, Matthew.
Hello, Dave.
How you doing? You're looking good, by the way. I said this off the air. I will say it on the air. You have a great haircut, and you lost some weight. You're looking real good, boy.
Thank you very much.
You picking up any chicks in the sound field? Any theater chicks?
I ain't got no time.
Oh, well, that's the theater geek problem.
It really is.
Yeah, I always blamed it on having no time, too. Not the fact that I was short and weird and you know, vaguely ugly. But no.
It's okay. I'm tall and weird. So you're tall and weird.
But good-looking guy. So get out there. You know, you just designed or finished doing the sound design on the production here of August Osage County.
That is correct.
How did that go? What was the toughest challenge you faced sound designing August Osage County?
Well, without causing any stir, the hardest part is just getting people to project.
Getting people to what?
Getting actors to project.
Really?
Really. I mean, it's just, I guess it's a contrast issue. We did have a wonderful guest, two technically guest artists. We had Megan Vandehey.
She was in If Then, I think, last, or, oh, no, that other one, the funny one, the about the people. It was in the Norton Theater. It was a Yasmina Reza play. It was called,
I'm blanking as well.
Beat each other up on the playground. Oh, whatever. Megan Vandehey.
Anyway, yeah. She was a wonderful guest artist. She was actually an original graduate from UNC.
Oh, okay.
And she is a professional equity actor. And mm-hmm. So when she's on stage, you can tell because she has, you know, had so much time to project. And you get a lot of college students whom are fantastic in their craft, but they're still working on that projection part and just balancing mics and getting an imaging thing.
If they have mics, maybe they feel that they don't need to project.
And without me ripping apart people, yeah, and it's kind of sad because you start with people whom are very loud,
yeah,
and then they kind of just deteriorate. And that's not necessarily here, just a sole problem here. That's everywhere I've ever worked is,
yeah,
they just kind of get into that attitude. And then over time, you have people like Megan Vandehey or David Grapes II,
yeah,
who was also in this production, whom they just inherently know how to project from so many years on the stage. So I guess that'd be my hardest.
But I do wonder about that because let's say I'm an actor. I am an actor. I have done that, and I've projected, and I have a pretty decent projecting voice. Or I think I do, at least in a certain size of room. But if I know that I'm being mic'd, and that wouldn't I not want to use my natural projection? Wouldn't I want to talk more like I'm just talking to you in a room because it's more intimate because I know that the microphone is just going to pick that up.
But see, it kind of depends, and maybe that is the mindset that they get into. But in the theater, what I was going for, specifically in this show, is not to have it sound like it was mic'd. Hmm. Because regardless as to whether they're wearing a mic or not, it's going to sound amplified when they're wearing a mic. That sound will begin to sound not natural, and it won't sound like it's coming from the stage. It'll sound like it's kind of coming from above you. So the goal is to provide very limited reinforcement, so that it just barely adds, so that you hear a mixture of both their natural speaking voice in addition to their mic, which, you know, is difficult. It's not the easiest task to achieve. And what we ended up going with was more of just a amplified sound, which is okay because your ears are just naturally going to adjust to that over the course of a couple minutes. By the end of the first scene, you don't even think about the fact that they're wearing a mic anymore. You just hear their loud voice and you go with it.
Yeah, this is totally normal. Do we have infrared stuff at UNC, the thing that they do on Broadway for people who are hard of hearing?
We actually do not. Mm-hmm. And actually, it was something I investigated while we were doing this production because we didn't know we were going to have some guests in the audience who were going to require something along those lines.
Mm-hmm.
It turns out we actually don't have any systems like that in place. However, I do have some wonderfully exciting news about the Langworthy Theater. I just found out in this past week we're beginning a brand new Meyer sound package in that space. So brand new speakers.
I've always wanted a brand new package No, yes, yes. Thank you. Thank you so much.
Brand new
big package?
Very large package.
Large package, yes.
Very big speakers. Ooh. Actually, we're going to have some new speaker clusters, a new center speaker cluster, some new delays throughout the space.
Nobody knows what the hell you're talking about. But
I know it's. We're going to get some very nice new speakers. It's going to sound very natural in there. And one of the arguments and critiques that I've heard most about that space is that it's just not acoustically sound, and it just does not sound good.
If you read Brian Van Driel's criticism in the Tribune.
That is what he rips apart most often.
Time and time again, yeah.
But we are going to get some. First off, just a random thing. When I read his review for August Osage County, it was the best review I had ever received for a show, for sound. It was one sentence long.
Oh.
And that is all I've ever wanted, was him to not talk about sound. As soon as you start getting talked about, it's usually bad.
So what did he say about sound?
He said, Matt Davis's sound was limited but effective.
Okay. All right.
Not limited. Don't quote me directly.
No, but you know what? This happened to me in New York because I just got back from New York like 2-3 weeks ago, and I saw a bunch of plays and musicals and things like that. And I saw a musical off-Broadway. Not on Broadway. It was a rock musical off-Broadway at a small theater called the Arclight that is about one-tenth the size of the Langworthy Theater.
Wow.
Maybe 150 seats. Or how big is Langworthy?
Langworthy is 550 seats.
It feels bigger. I thought it was closer to 1,000, but okay, it's 550 seats. This space probably had 120 seats, so a fifth of the size.
So very small.
A show, I swear to God, and I talked about this last week on the show, so you know, because you, of course, listen to all my shows, called Bedbugs the Musical.
Bedbugs the Musical.
The Musical. All about this woman whose mom was killed by bedbugs, so she is a mad scientist.
Can you get killed by bedbugs? Is that
apparently a thing? Can get eaten by them if they're ignored, and there's a whole lot of them. I don't think you really can. But in this musical.
But for the story.
Well, for the sake of bedbugs, two exclamation points, the musical. she does. So this girl feels guilty. She becomes a mad scientist trying to come up with a toxic poison that wipes out bedbugs forever. She thinks she does, except she instead invents this potion that makes them into super half-human bedbug people.
This does sound like something that would have to stay off Broadway.
Yeah. That's definitely where it belongs. And it's actually rather professionally done and really good actors, and it's cute. I didn't really find it all that ha-ha funny.
It sounds like something I'd want to go see. It just doesn't sound like something that would sell very well to
the
Broadway
market.
For a
certain crowd, for a cult. I mean, look at You're in Town, the musical. Who knew?
Absolutely.
Yeah. So Bedbugs, the musical? You never know. Feces. No. But so, and then she turns into this empowered woman who falls in love with the king of the bedbugs, and he pierces her sexually in a weird way. It's a musical. And then there's a Celine Dion type of character. It's a strange show. Well done. The main thing, though, the one thing that I was most impressed by is that it had a pit band. It had electric guitar, drum, and I guess probably a bass or one or two other instruments. I mean, a real actual rock pit band. It was the best sound design for a rock musical, any kind of musical. Everything on Broadway is so over-mic'd and so loud and so ridiculous and so shrill. I remember seeing Beauty and the Beast and having my ears blown off by it one time, because they just, to drown out the 6-year-olds in the audience, they just jacked up.
They do tend to boost the volume quite a bit.
Yeah. And this musical, you heard the singers, you heard the rock. It didn't sound like they were off in another room. They sang it right live and there. But they just got the exact level of volume. And I don't understand why Broadway sound designers can't do that. The Acme people, Steve Kennedy, or whoever's doing it. They can't do that. I just don't understand. If in this small little theater they can do a rock show and you're not sitting there with your fingers in your ears, it's pleasant, but still rocks, why can't that be done?
I think it's clarity over volume, and that's something that's really important for a lot of people.
Yeah.
As opposed to let's just make it louder in order to get it more clear and hear it more definitely.
Yeah.
And I do believe that, you know, you'll have all those shows. You know, you'll see an example would be when Warhorse came through Denver. I did see the tour when they came through the Buell.
Yeah.
And they were very loud.
Oh, yeah. I saw that on Broadway. So
the mics for that production, there was no question you were hearing.
Yeah, but they wanted you to hear explosions and gunshots, and it's a very loud show. You think it's going to be this cute thing about a horse, and it's really about war, relentlessly.
But in reality, those mics also have to compensate. They can't have these explosions be so loud that then you can't hear the dialogue.
Right, yeah.
Which, in reality, after you hear an explosion, you're going to hear, what are they saying? You see, your ears are just shot.
Yeah.
But that doesn't really help the story, then, does it?
Yeah, and also you've got actors who are speaking in English-British dialects. So it's especially important that you can hear and understand what they're saying after an explosion.
Absolutely.
So I mean, that's something that I'm just throwing that out at you, that it can be done.
Oh, absolutely.
Have a rock musical, maybe not on Broadway, certainly not Hedwig and the Angry Inch. I mean, that thing just blasts you intentionally within an inch of your life, but no need. Anyway, that's just me on my soapbox. But we're here with Matthew Davis, who is the programming director of UNC Radio. So it's been a very topsy-turvy semester.
Absolutely.
We expected that the finishing touches on renovating the studio would have been done by June. They were not.
That was what we originally told.
Was there asbestos abating here? I thought that was asbestos? The original thing.
There, from what I understand, is that the tiles in the floor, the original tiles, those were asbestos. Oh. Those were the only things. And the problem with that is that they were starting to crack in places.
Right.
Because people would drop heavy things. Just random wear and tear. It was starting to cause more of an issue than it was worth.
Sure.
So they came in. They got all those out. All the asbestos has been completely cleared of the building, by the way.
All in my lungs because I've been here for 5 years. Yeah.
Probably.
Yeah.
To my knowledge, it was not in the ceiling, and I really hope not because I was in here the other day working on the ceiling.
I thought, there were like those three holes up on that side of the ceiling, and I thought maybe they were sucking the asbestos out through them.
They were actually running electrical wires.
That's what they were.
But the issue of what it took so long is that the electricians were an outside contracted company to come in and do it.
Yeah.
But it was they weren't just working on our building. They were also working on buildings across campus. And the school – this is just second heard. This isn't necessarily for sure. What I was told is that they would be in here. They'd try to get work done, and then they'd get a call of, well, this one's more important. We need you to come finish this one because it's happening in Candelaria or Ross. And you have to have the wiring done, the building done there when classes come back. You can't have concrete floors as students walk in where, we could argue that too as we had to walk in the concrete floors. Right, and
here.
We still do in the hallway until next week when they're going to finish the tiles is what I've been told.
No, you have a point, though, about there are emergencies and there are more important, quote-unquote, some, believe it or not, more important things than this radio station on this campus. So I get that. And, of course, you can't do anything until the wires are done. And let's give Matt huge props. He's the guy. I thought it was just people from the building maintenance, but he's the guy who was here all week putting up acoustic, what do they call it, foam?
They're acoustical tiles.
Essentially,
it's a breakup pattern on the tiles, and they're pretty dense foam. So when sound bounces into them, it does not reflect off the surface. It gets absorbed or deflected into essentially oblivion.
Yeah.
Whereas if you walk into a square room that just has all hard walls, there's no furniture, there's nothing in it, you're going to echo really strongly. Whereas now in here, whereas you might have heard even the past couple weeks, whether it was during this show or other shows, maybe a little bit of an echo in the background, you really don't hear that today. You just kind of hear my voice, hear your voice, and it's just directly into the mic. And that's really important.
New microphones, by the way.
Brand new microphones.
Thank you.
Possibly other brand new equipment coming in the next couple weeks. We've had some issues with the recorder, and I haven't told you this yet, but I'm also pricing a digital recorder. And that's this completely separate unit that does not rely on a computer.
Ooh.
So therefore, all you do is you press record, and then at the end of the show, you plug in your hard drive, it saves it to it, and then you walk away.
But it goes through the board? I mean, I have a digital recorder now.
Well, it would take a feed. What it would do is it'd take a feed from the board, just like we do to send it out to the broadcast.
Oh, do it. Do it.
So all these things on the table.
I have to save my show. Once we start, I've been one of the few people who have been broadcasting this past whole semester, not to mention the summer. Just because we haven't been able to train and we haven't had that many folks. I mean, you have a show. What, your show is when? Friday nights?
My show is Friday night, 7 p.m. to 10 p.m., and I'm guessing most of the crowd here is probably not looking for an EDM adventure. But
EDM,
if they are.
Like me, they don't even know what the hell that is. It's electronic something?
Disco move? EDM is electronic dance music.
Dance music. EDM.
EDM, but I also play.
My electronic dance music is Rudy Valley on a gramophone. It's an electric gramophone. You turn it, it goes on, it stops, it's nice, you dance to it. That's my EDM.
But surprisingly, there's quite a few genres of electronic music in themselves. And the reason I enjoy electronic music is I'm also a big fan of classical style music and classical orchestrated pieces.
Classical music, yeah.
And the way that electronic music is most often formatted is actually with a little bit of classical intent. I know that sounds really odd when you hear it, but it's, if you think about it, it's multiple tones, multiple instruments all working together to create a feeling.
Da-da-da-dum! Sorry.
Yeah. Mine's a little bit different than
just
the...
A little bit different from that, yes.
But, that's kind of... But we've got all these new acoustical tiles in the room, which makes it sound better in
my
here.
My point was about the fact that you and I and a couple of other people have been the only live broadcasters here, for the most part. There have been maybe half a dozen there over the past few weeks. Is that if you have that digital recorder to tape the show, when we tape all our shows eventually, then I don't have to hang here at the end of my show, get on that computer when someone's here, once people start to fill in the schedule, and sit there and say, wait, no, I'm downloading my show. You can't record yours yet. Nope. You know, I need 5 minutes for this to render into an MP3 and then put it on my flat. It takes 10 minutes, you know?
All you have to do is have a hard drive. I believe it just stays hooked into the machine the whole show. And it just records to the drive the entire time. Then at the end of the show, press a button, walk away.
Yeah.
And it's on there. And then that's when you can take it to another computer and say you want to take off the beginning end, you want to take off the other end, say you wanted to pull out a specific part of the show, you wanted to save that specifically for an interview, say you did an interview with somebody, like I know you do all the time.
Sure.
Yeah. You can go in and just edit that elsewhere. You don't have to worry about doing that in the studio live when the next host is walking in trying to get on.
Yeah. No, I mean, I just take my whole show and edit it at home, but still, not everybody's going to have the time or the wherewithal or desire to do that, but everybody should be able, as you said, to have their show recorded, to have a show in abeyance, just in case they can't make it 1 week, that there's a fail-safe show programmed, a repeat, as it were, ready to fly.
Absolutely.
All these things that can be done.
The easier we make it for them, the more likely it will actually be done and be done correctly.
Yeah. I would just get a couple more, big terabyte hard drives and have those for, recording computer if you're not going to get the digital thing.
I think it's what we'll probably go towards.
Yeah. Yeah.
At least some additional space, because right now we don't quite have – we can record it, but most of those recordings have to be deleted pretty quickly.
Yeah.
So they have to be recorded, edited, moved, and then deleted to make space for the next couple of recordings. Because if we are recording a full program a day, which is around, on average, if we have the entirety of our board filled, it's around from 12 in the afternoon, so noon. So we start to get DJs in that aren't in classes, and then we'll go anywhere steadily up until 9 to 10 o'clock at night. And so if we're recording, that's 10 hours a day of
Render it into an MP3. It comes
waves,
versus
files.
A wave. It's huge.
Absolutely. Much, much larger. And honestly, I'd love to leave them as wave files. Much better quality in the long run. But once it's getting broadcast over a stream, we already have to dial it down just a little bit to make sure that everyone can receive it in a good quality and not have interruptions. So it doesn't really matter in the end. But our hard drives for our broadcast, our rebroadcasting computer, our tune tracker, that has to have only so much space, that it's not an infinite amount of space.
Got it.
So,
and a couple of quick more questions for our program director, Matthew Davis, here at UNC Radio. I'm curious, I was talking about this with the old general manager dude a while ago. I don't know if there's a reason for it anymore, but any thoughts given to FM signal again? They were thinking about that a while back.
We have given thought to it.
Yeah.
It's something that I think it wouldn't be a bad thing to go back to.
Yeah.
it also wouldn't be a permanent thing to go back to. I don't know how much longer, to be honest, FM will stay. You know, in the next 20 years, we might have all cars being just digital radios with a new format. Who knows?
Interesting.
I mean, the technology, I guess we were saying this before when satellite radio came out, and then, well, that did really well when two companies had to merge as one just to survive.
Yeah. Radio is still on some level local. People get in their cars and they're like...
And people do enjoy that local radio. And I think going on to the FM, going back to the airwaves, would give us that ability to broadcast to a larger audience just around town.
Yeah.
And we would get those locals that want to listen to it.
Full FM, what do they have? Those little 5-mile perimeter kind of dealio.
Which would cover the entire campus.
Yeah.
That would give us what we need. I think the resistance to that, and it's been my resistance as well, is the licenses we pay for and use for our music is a lot cheaper to just broadcast online. And it allows us to allow DJs to play more styles and more different genres of music as opposed to limiting them. Right now we can pretty much say, do what you want, we'll take care of it.
Right. Yeah.
Whereas if we had to go on FM, we go from a completely open platform where DJs can even come into this room and cuss if they wish.
Well, yeah.
Or have interviews that cuss. If we have, and I guess this is the other issue that concerns me, is that we let just about any student come in and we'll train them. And so long as they're eager, we want them to be a part of a radio station. We want them to enjoy themselves. Mm-hmm. But if they come in and we have to say, well, now you can say this, this, and this. And by the way, if you drop an F-bomb, we're going to get fined $2,000. Yeah.
Or more,
yeah, depending.
Yeah. That would be fucked. It really would. Yeah.
It would be absolutely fucked. We just can't. I don't trust. It's sad that I say this, but I do not trust the average student to come here and completely be professional. And it's not that I don't trust my DJs. It's that we let the DJs bring in guests. We let the DJs bring in bands, and we don't have the time or money to invest in somebody to sit here 24/7, watch what they're saying, and then hit the censor button in the event that somebody drops an F-bomb.
Back when I was on radio out on Long Island, I did my show, and I sometimes did special things like the Tony Show, and a couple of times I did a New Year's, like an overnight 9 until 1 in the morning kind of thing on New Year's Eve.
Yeah.
Because I have no life, so I'd rather be on the radio than doing anything else on New Year's.
I would.
So, yeah, I would too. But, so great, so fine. So I have friends, DJs from the thing would call in, or they would stop in, because it was also supposed to promote the radio station, and all these DJs would promote their shows and say Happy New Year, and that was the... But I also have friends call in from stuff, and you know, friends would call in from parties and places where they were with their friends who were drunk, and here I am on this AM station. It wasn't a talk concerned with talks, but it was barely... We were under FCC rules.
Right.
And suddenly, F, I was like, boom, and running to the 7-second delay button, which we actually had.
Yep.
And I was like, okay, I'm not taking more phone calls. You can't say that on this kind of a station.
Yep.
Not. I know you know the words. I know the words. We all say the words, but...
I believe what we would... I won't rule out FM completely.
Okay.
And here's why.
Why?
If we were going to move to an FM style of station, we would build a second studio. And the second studio would be our FM station, and this studio that we're currently in, or we could convert this one to the FM and move our just online station to either another building on campus or another room here, and we could have two stations. It'd be kind of like BBC. BBC 1, BBC 2 goes on and on and on.
Or you have one station that's devoted to, like, kids in their first year getting their feet wet, they're not ready, and then the FM would be a little more quote-unquote professional. They've done at least 10 shows, so they're ready to move forward.
People who have been on the air can then move into the FM side. They are already inherently just more professional when they're on the air. Yeah. They're going to be better at their music choices. They're going to have a greater ability to talk for long periods of time about seemingly nothing.
Which is kind of what we're good at.
But we could then have two solid stations. The FM side would be able to generate more revenue. A lot of advertisers do not enjoy a internet radio station because they're not necessarily quite so sure about people wanting to listen. FM, it's guaranteed listenership so long as you can get somebody to press the button. Mm. Once you've gotten somebody to find your channel in their car, I'm so guilty of this. When I had first found out about pirate radio, I was driving down the road, saw a little plaque on the side of the big vehicle that said 104.7.
Yeah.
And I go, huh, well, what's that? Turn to 104.7. Oh, this is kind of like oldies, and I really enjoy this. Save the station. If we can do the same thing around town, you suddenly have listenership, and you can prove that you have listenership. And people who want to market their business, especially local businesses, are going to love to hop on board and want to be a part of it.
Yeah, yeah, no, I'm of two minds about the FM, especially I didn't realize about the licensures and what that would entail. Although we are a university, so maybe we get
Because we're a university, it can be cheaper, and also because our listenership would be so small, there's a lot more leeway and a lot more gray area.
It would be small, yeah.
a little more gray area.
Because I know millions of people listen to my show all over the world, even on other planets. There are Venusians who tune in and they worship Odin and they tune into my show to listen. Yes,
well,
they do.
But there's no ice giants there.
There's no ice. I don't know what the hell it means, but yes.
Odin took care of the ice giants.
Oh, he did. He did. We're taking care of business here at UNC Radio. It's 1:27 in the afternoon, an hour and a half overtime of my radio show. So I better wrap it up with Matt because I want to play some Neil Young music. I don't know if you like. Do you like Neil Young?
Somewhat.
Somewhat. Somewhat. Well, Neil Young is going to be turning 69 years old on November 12th, which I think Wednesday. Today's the...
Today's 8th.
8th. 9, 10, 11, 12. Wednesday. Neil Young.
Very good.
Is doing 69, possibly with Daryl Hannah at the moment. Ba-dum-bum. Because, it's been a weird kind of time for Neil Young. He put out an album back in April. That was A Letter Home, where he did cover versions of songs that he kind of grew up with. And he and Jack White of not... Is Jack White from the White Stripes or is he from the Black Keys? I never remember that one.
I'm not going to be able to answer that with confidence.
Well, anyway, he went into one of these old-time booths with... And I did this when I was a kid at like Coney Island, where... You would go into this booth, there'd be a microphone, you'd sing or talk or whatever into the microphone, and then in that booth, it would make a record, and you would come out with a 45 RPM, a thing that you could take home and play. You make a record.
Yeah.
And this is, we're talking the tape recorders back then, that was it. There was no MP3s, no digital. It was the coolest thing. So he found one of these old things, and he did the entire album singing into this booth, and then playing the recording that sounds like the old-time recordings that you would get from these carnival booths.
Huh.
And it's called, I'm going to play a song from that. But that was he released that in April. He also has another autobiography out. He did one a couple of years ago. Now he's got one that was just released that looks like his career from some other different angles. The first one was mostly about cars and trains. This one is some other stuff. And what else? And he broke up with his wife of 39 years, Peggy. You might have seen her in that Jonathan Demme documentary that he did about them a few years ago. And now he apparently is actually, I wasn't kidding, he's dating Daryl Hannah. If you remember the movie Splash? Well, she doesn't look like that anymore, but she's still Daryl Hannah. And then, well, he doesn't look like Neil Young anymore. He's an old cranky guy.
Not quite.
Not quite. So, well, I'm an old cranky guy. And news actually just came yesterday that bass player Rick Rossus, I've never heard of the man, but he has played with Young for a long time. He wasn't part of Crazy Horse, the main Crazy Horse group, but he sat in with them and done some other stuff, but he died. Oh. So, sad news in the Neil Young camp, but busy time for Neil Young. So, I'm going to wrap up my talk with Matthew Davis. I want to congratulate you for becoming the programming director now, which means that when live shows aren't playing here at the station, he's got this Tune Tracker thing going. Is this the Tune Tracker? Is that what they call it?
It is called the Tune Tracker, and we do have some exciting news that past programming people have not quite done what I guess I would consider a proper job. It's kind of sad. Most radio stations nowadays, even some specific ones that I won't say names, don't even have DJs in most of the time. They, you know, they have DJ personalities, but those people may not be even be the ones picking the music, let alone the ones in the room. Clear Channel. What?
Yeah.
Which is fine. You know, I enjoy many a Clear Channel station. And you guys can enjoy, of course, the UNC radio station, which is what we're trying to go towards. It's just not plausible to have a DJ in the room at 9 a.m. when most, if not all, of our DJs are in their classes.
Right.
So our solution is an automated system that sounds just as if a DJ is in the room, because technically it is. We've programmed it ourselves, and it's going to have music in what's now going to be block hours and block sections, which, as I was mentioning to you off the air earlier, we'll have, you know, if we decide we want to go down the country route for, say, Wednesdays from 10 to noon, that's what it is.
2 hours of country music.
2 hours of country music, or 2 hours of alternative rock, or 2 hours of pop. Whatever that style of genre is, it'll be consistent throughout the week, most likely. So we'll have, you know, every day, Monday through Friday, 8 to 10, or whenever there's a day that's not in there. So say it's like 12 to 4 is the alternative rock section through the week. You can expect, and generally, you know, expect to come in, listen to the radio station, and get a consistent means of music, as opposed to bouncing back and forth between,
not knowing,
you know, top 40 rap and then alternative and then like slowed down. That's just not really fair to our listeners. It doesn't really give them something to work
and
with.
And also, since we have such an eclectic, because we're in a university, you're going to have people who love EDM. You're going to have people who love the top 40 stuff. You got people like me who want to hear 60s, 70s, 80s rock and roll.
Absolutely.
You have some classic. Well, I don't know if you need. There'll be some classical people.
There's going to be some classical
music
rock.
School here.
Oh, yeah.
Actually, come to think of it. So they're going to want to hear maybe Beethoven, Mozart, Edgar Varese, etc. And then there'll be folks who want to hear show tunes. And why not?
Absolutely.
Why not? Variety, eclectic. That's what, for me, college radio ought to be about.
Variety, but it needs to be structured.
Yeah, okay.
We need to get back to a structure. Right now, we don't really have a consistent means of structure. But we'll get there.
We'll get there.
We'll find there.
I'm happy to help on certain genres of music. If you need, you know, any help either on the Broadway side or on that singer-songwriter, you know, 60s, 70s, 80s side, I can really be of help to that.
I do know where to go for my show tunes.
You do. You do indeed. But we're not playing show tunes now, and thank you, by the way, Matthew Davis, for being with us in the neighborhood. Congrats again.
Thank you for having
me. On being really important now to this. Well, you already were, but now having a title that goes with it.
I was important outside of the radio station. A lot of the things that happened run by the radio station, but not necessarily on air. And now we're moving all of our efforts, I do believe, to on-the-air development.
That's
a better
nice.
Radio station, as opposed to a better radio station group for the campus.
Well, it was very, you know, before, I do want to say this, that the previous general manager, a guy named Sam, was he, that was his title?
Sam was the general manager for the station, yes.
Sam was, and his thing, and it was hugely important, and still is, was, you know, because I was like, well, it's about what's on the radio and who's doing what the shows are, and he's like, we have to get word about the radio station out to our community, to the community. We have to play at all the clubs and dances. We have to put on concerts. We have to be out there on the lawns. We have to have picnics and parties and barbecue things and be at the concerts that are elsewhere.
And he was right. And he was right for the time.
Right.
And we took what essentially was a decent radio station doing good music, you know, good talk, good information, but no audience. Now we have a decent radio station that has an audience, has people who know what we are on campus, and most importantly, has a budget
to
do things with. And now our focus that we have both of those things decent is to improve the radio station,
itself. Keep the outside stuff going. I mean, show up at all the dances and parties and things, and there are so many of them, and the sports events too. I mean, Sam, it was very clear about we got to get us out there. And now, finally, that we're out there and we've got a renovated station around us, we
absolutely.
Can go, okay, now let's make the next move. Let's create a radio station that makes sense while still giving everybody a chance to do the kind of shows they want to do.
Absolutely.
Right. Before we go, got to let you know a couple of other things. First of all, that next week, assuming you know the creeks don't rise and we're here for you from 9 until noon, or one, or two.
Or four.
Or thank you, Matthew Davis, who's still in the neighborhood with us. I think I've gotten it. Did I miss anything, Matthew Davis?
Not to my knowledge.
Not to your knowledge. It's two. Oh, my God. We've gone past 2 o'clock.
Oh, boy.
I'm actually 2 hours overtime today. I don't apologize. Thank you for listening. Thank you for being with us. We're going to play the song that we always go out on when we don't have another song to play. You have anything to tell our listeners? Anything cool happening with UNC Radio this week before I let them go?
Nothing too special. Just remember to support the radio sponsors, Blackjack Pizza and the Wing Shack. They both open all the time. They donate food to us all the time for the events we do.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, they give us free food, not necessarily to the radio station, but say we're doing a event on campus. We'll say, hey, you guys want to give us some food? And they'll go, yep, here's
Sweet.
Some pizzas, or hey, here's some wings. So really great supporters, those guys. Always great to work with them.
And by the way, just so you know, I did do the ad for them earlier in the show.
Very nice.
So I obey the rules here at this radio station.
Oh, no, just want to say that both of them have great food. I eat them way too often. Regardless as to whether they were sponsors of the show, I would eat them.
But we need more sponsors. So by all means, if you want to – I think I read this before. Samantha is the person to contact if you want to have an ad on the station. And we could definitely use more. Absolutely. Please do. And we need more DJs. And we need more music. So let's go out with – a song that was originally written by Van Morrison, but we've been playing this one since our very first show. This is the Waterboys version of Sweet Thing, because it's always a sweet thing for me to be here with you in the neighborhood. Get your winter coats out, your hats, your gloves, your mucklucks. It's going to be a rough week after this weekend.
Very, very cold this week.
Something brutal. And
down
snow, maybe? Sorry?
Down in the teens some days.
Yeah, some overnights are going to be single digit.
Yeah.
I mean, we've gotten so spoiled.
Really, this... I mean, I guess we say this every year, but I mean, although at least it did not snow on Halloween,
right?
This year it did not snow in October at all, to my knowledge, other than maybe a couple flurries.
Yeah, nothing. Yeah.
So,
I thought maybe it would wait until Thanksgiving because that's what happens in New York. Weather stays relatively okay, and then Thanksgiving is when it really gets cold and miserable in New York.
And then we just have this mountain of snow that will appear in December.
Yeah,
and lasts until March.
Well, but we've had that here. I spoke earlier in the show that the first year I moved here, that happened before Halloween.
Oh, yeah.
We had a big dump. This was 5 years ago. Half a foot of snow, melted partially, then refroze, melted, refroze, and stayed until April.
First year I moved here on a blizzard year.
Uh-huh.
And we had... the biggest blizzard. This was one of those blizzards where everybody freaks out. Everybody's like, we have to go to the grocery store and have food for 3 days. And
yep.
Probably not, but, you know,
just
everybody does
flashlights
anyway.
Flashlights and, yeah, oh, yeah.
And so that was an experience.
When was that?
That was, I would say that was probably 15 years ago.
Oh, okay, yeah.
15, 16 years ago. It's been a while.
So now at least they don't have horse-drawn carriages anymore. They actually have cars.
No, but
indoor plumbing.
The snow was so tall that we were able to sled from our patio because it came up to the banister, so we could just climb over the banister and then sled down into our front yard. That was years ago. I have not seen snow like that since.
Please don't knock wood. Can I? Tweet, tweet, tweet. Can I hurry? No. It's just like, because we're due. And I don't know what this big storm is or how much we're going to get of this thing that's going to push over us on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday.
Let's hope that we will not have to deal with that.
We this is how God works. He's given us, like, I know you're a believer and a Christian and all that, and I have some level of belief from my angle, but, you know, I've got that old Jewish angry God. He's like, I gave you a beautiful October. I gave you a very nice part of November. I'm going to give you 3.5 feet of snow in December, so fuck you.
And deal with it.
That's God. That's my God. He's like, you think, yeah, you're just putting off the inevitable. It'll just be worse
coming
when it finally hits, you know? But anywho... It's 2:10 in the afternoon. I think it's time for me to go.
I think it's time for some lunch. Yeah.